back on VSiN's Primetime Action. Glad you could stick with us tonight, live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Let's give the South Point some love here on the tip of the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, who is just doing nothing but hitting baseball first innings tonight. Kelly Bidlin. Danielle, what are you first inning? What's your record now tonight? You don't even have to tell us about the Yankees one
just
before
tonight?
The show. Yeah.
Tonight in the first run, or just the first inning, I'm 4-1.
Good Lord, man. 4-1. Can we give her a winner video? Is that allowed? Do we do that? No?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we owe her one.
Oh, actually, no.
Oh, well. Did I jinx?
4-2 now.
4-2.
But that was my long shot one. That was I did do one at Rocky Stadium, which you guys have cautioned me about doing.
Oh,
but Padres, Rockies. Rockies did just the worst.
Nothing wrong with 4-2, Danielle. Nothing wrong at all.
I'll take that.
Gil?
How do they know?
How do they know?
The Cubs and the Indians head to the ninth inning, 3-2, under the 6.5. We are in the top of the seventh, Orioles and Mets, scoreless. Scoreless, top of the seventh.
Wow.
The 2 6.5 totals on the night.
6.5's not something you see every day or haven't in most of our betting, our baseball betting lifetime, but there we are with two tonight. Kelly, I know you feel like you've updated these often tonight, but one more update if you would.
It's all good. We've got new audiences joining us all the time. I'll tell you one thing, Matt. Luka Doncic, if you want to start scoring a little bit more, I'd be happier. Only 8 points in the first half.
Well, that'd be pretty neat then if he would go ahead and just maybe do that.
Pretty neat. Pretty neat. I gave 57 all just before half. Mavericks 3.5 live if you wanted to join the sweat with Matt Brown and myself. And 228.5 is your live total on that game. Elsewhere in the NBA, Timberwolves all over the Pistons. They're going to win that one. They're up 22 in the fourth quarter. Not even going to go into live numbers on that. Nuggets on top of the Hornets, 98-87. 9 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. If you wanted to hop in live on that one, Nuggets are 9.5-point live favorites. 228.5 is the live total. Heat leading the Celtics right now, 64-59. 10.5 minutes left in the third. Heat 4.5 live, 227.5. The live total. Clippers up on the Raptors, 68-57. 7 minutes left to go in the third. Clippers, 15.5 live, 212.5 live total. Nets with a 13-point lead over the Bulls at halftime, 64-51. No live numbers currently up. Check for second half numbers if you wanted to get in on that game. The Grizzlies got a three right before half, so 60-57 now. Cool. Sixers up on the Pacers, 62-51.
The bitterness of gamblers.
Yeah, exactly right. Sixers 12.5 live, 225.5 the total for that game. Over in baseball, let me just get to my page as my whole system crashes here.
Let me update everyone on how Danielle lost her first inning.
Do that, Matt.
First inning Padres.
Yeah, let's relive that.
Rockies bet. Did you look at this?
No, I did not.
So, well, you lost this on one
I
run.
I know it was the,
on the,
I know
on the
it
classic
was...
one run on no hits.
Oh,
yeah.
Lead off walk.
Brutal.
Steal second.
That's the most Rockies
advance
stadium.
To third on a fly out to right field. And then a ground out, shortstop scored on the ground out. One run on no hits, and that's how you lose your bet.
Yeah. That was my little plus money one,
at
though.
Coors,
so that was like.
What a horrible way to lose at Coors.
Yeah. I thought, like, maybe I'll get some plus money on a Coors no run first inning bet. And then.
Well, I mean, he didn't give up a hit. It's just, you know, it's the unfortunate circumstance of leadoff walk, stolen base. Perfect fly out to where he's able to advance to third, and then a ground out to where he's able to score on the ground out. So
yeah. That's okay. 4-2.
Yeah, 4-2 is still good. I mean, here's how bad that is, though, Danielle. One last time to drive it home. I always say, like, at Coors, the worst quality a pitcher can have is walking opposing batters because it's the biggest ballpark in all of baseball, widest dimension. So if you let free runners on, damage will come, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, because balls will drop base hits. But here, the walk, through no fault of his own, ends up costing you. That's. Stinks. Sorry about that. One man on, scoreless in Houston between Shohei Ohtani and the Angels and Lance McCullers and the Astros. But one man on, nobody out, and Yordan Alvarez at the plate facing Ohtani. So my Angels bet, one of these moments early in a game where you're like, uh-oh, come on, Shohei, get out of this jam. And I'll give you one pitch of play-by-play. And the pitch to Alvarez, ground ball, stabbed at first. Ooh, called foul. I wanted a double play there. Okay. Anyway, there's some live, exciting action, everybody. Okay. This is, once again, VSiN's Primetime Action. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin, right here on MSG+. It's where we watch sports, where we bet on sports, and we We watch really through the lens of betting markets, really a reflection of what tens of millions of Americans already do, and the live betting aspect, which, again, we'll admit, here in a squirrely final week of the of the basketball season, hockey obviously sparse, not really a live betting canvas, if you will. Baseball may be a different story. By the way, Alvarez took that apparently strangely off his some sort of injury on that swing, by the way, should be mentioned. So not an in-game boon tonight, admittedly. But he fouled it off himself. Ouch. Off the shin guard. Hope he's okay. So that's what we do. And speaking of which, one of the things that we wanted to do tonight is talk about teams through roughly 35 games. Obviously, some teams have played fewer, some teams have played more. But roughly 35 games through the Major League Baseball season, a little shy of one quarter of the way through. Kelly, a great idea. Talk about the team that we thought was the most surprising to the good, the most disappointing, and maybe extract some betting lessons from that conversation. Who should we start with?
We're starting with you, Gil.
We're starting with you. Am I doing both or just one or the other?
You can do both.
Okay. Let me just say how I approach this exercise.
Yes, yeah.
With the most surprising team, what I wanted to do was kind of make a betting point. And with the most disappointing team, it's completely unfair, but I just thought we had to include them. Because if we didn't, it would be odder if that than if we hadn't.
And teams that are facing off tonight, no
less. And teams that have to that happen to be facing off tonight. So my most surprising team is the Seattle Mariners. They're 18-17. They got off to an even better start than they are right now. They're 18-17 on the season. Their season win total, 72.5. There are only six teams in baseball that had a fewer pre-flop market season win total than the Seattle Mariners, 72.5. And they're called the Marlins, Tigers, Rangers, Orioles, Rockies, and Pirates. So that's how low the Mariners were held in esteem in the betting market. And they've come off to this 18-17 start. And if you're a bettor, and if we do this very bizarro exercise, that if you're a bettor who has bet the Mariners blindly in their first 35 games, whether as a favorite or as a dog, with the Mariners it's primarily as a dog. And by the way, I don't recommend you do that with any team, but just in case you did have that bizarro exercise, hypothetically, you would be up nearly 7 units net on the season. That's the number two best team in baseball in terms of the return on your investment. However, and this is where the betting lesson comes in, yes, they're the most surprising. None of this is sustainable. None of it. The Mariners sport a starting rotation of Chris Flexen, who, by the way, among all pitchers in all of baseball, if you had bet Flexen games blindly this year, you would be up almost all of those 7 units. Excuse me, you would be up 7.01 units on him alone, consensus-wise. So he really is the guy that's getting it done. But if you had bet Jason Dunn games, you'd be up 5 units. If you had blindly bet Justice Sheffield games, you'd be up 4.5 units. You say a Kikuchi, who's pitching tonight, you'd be up over 4 units as well. None of these guys have stats that are sustainable over the long term. Even Flexen, while his ERA is a middling 3.78, his advanced stats a little higher than that. Dunn, for goodness sakes, his advanced stats, even though his ERA is 3.5, his more advanced stats like fielding independent and xFIP are 5.13 and 6.2 respectively. That because his BABIP, his batting average on balls in play, is an unbelievably fortunate 194. We could do this for everyone. Justice Sheffield, a 5.12 xERA, advanced stats that do not purport good things to come. And Kikuchi himself, who pitches tonight, again, one of these guys whose numbers as a starter, very, very middling. Their lineup features four guys, who regularly in the lineup, Dylan Moore, Evan White, Sam Haggerty, Tom Murphy, guys whose batting averages are sub-200. This is not a great baseball team. They are the most surprising team in baseball. None of it is sustainable. Let me just add in conclusion with the Mariners, fourth worst run differential in the American League at -15 despite the winning record, 8-5 in one run games. Those will typically go back to the middle because of the randomness. And in extra inning games, the Mariners are a perfect 4-0. They do get Jared Kelenic, their prize prospect, to show up on Thursday. But that's my most surprising team because they have no business being what they are. And I have every right to, or every belief that gamblers who fade the Mariners, generally speaking, will do very well moving forward. Maybe we should pass it on to somebody else before I get to the Dodgers. No? You want to do the Dodgers real quick?
Yeah, yeah. One quick NBA update, though. Jimmy Butler leaving the game tonight. Got poked in the eye. Always hate seeing that in the NBA. Poked in the eye.
That
questionable.
Not good for my bet.
And then they do the slow-mo on it, and it's even worse. Most surprising, real quick, I'll do it real quick because I want everybody else to have a chance here. It's the Dodgers, who have the exact same record as the Mariners at 18-17. This is admittedly unfair because the Dodgers have been riddled with injuries. Bellinger, Betts early in the season, Gavin Lux, McKinstry, who might be one of their most important losses with his oblique, A.J. Pollock lately, Rios, by the way, which might be a positive, on the pitching staff, Tony Gonsolin, a huge loss, Brewster Graterol, David Price, Joe Kelly, all these guys have been lost for portions of the season. Kniebel, Alexander, Alvarez, Dustin May with the Tommy John surgery. That's not even mentioning guys like Caleb Ferguson and Tommy Canley. So this is really unfair for me to say this, but at 18-17, they're the exact foil of what I just talked about with the Mariners. If you had bet the Dodgers, blindly every single game this year, you'd be down 7 units net. Only Colorado, Detroit, and Minnesota would be worse from a betting perspective. And we talked about all the pitchers with the Mariners, how you'd be successful betting on them blindly. The only guy pitching for the Dodgers in the starting rotation who you'd be positive in the top 100 of pitchers is Clayton Kershaw. You'd be up 3.3 units betting his games blindly. They had a win total of 104.5. The Dodgers did to start, got bet down to 102.5. They got to pick things up. They're tied for third with the best run differential in all of baseball. They're 4-10. Again, very opposite to what we just talked about with the Mariners. They're 4-10 in one run games. They're 1-5 in extra inning games. All of that should regress positively for those reasons. They are the opposite of my Mariners play is most surprising. They're my most disappointing team, somewhat unfairly, but you get the idea.
No, totally. Absolutely. I'm with Paul on most surprising teams, the Boston Red Sox. I mean, this is a team that is, when we started the season, the books had them listed at 80.5 wins. So, I mean, we were talking about a sub-500 team kind of right on the brink there, a sub-500. If you really dig in here as to what's been going right for them, I mean, they just look and... Maybe we undersold a little bit. I mean, like some of these guys were maybe written off just a little bit too soon, but they've been crushing the ball. I mean, you know, Xander Bogaerts hitting .348, JD Martinez is hitting .338, Alex Verdugo's hitting .300, Devers is hitting .281. All these guys with OBPs over .350 as well, so they're walking as well. Christian Vasquez is doing well. Marwin Gonzalez, when he's in there, is doing well. I mean, they're actually getting a lot of production from the bat side. And, you know, the pitching has not been terrible by any stretch of the imagination. They only have 7 quality starts on the entire season.
Oh man.
But it's one of those things where you take a look and the pitching staff has been getting it done despite the fact that they're actually second in Major League Baseball and BABIP against them. And like, I mean, that is something that you would think would regress in their favor a little bit as well. I mean, Pecota had this team at 80-82, which was fourth in the AL East. That is like, I mean, to kind of let you know, again, just how far they've been going above expectations here. And, you know, I would like to say that everything should kind of regress back, but I think whenever we kind of look at this, I mean, they've been getting this done kind of in spite of their pitching. I mean, like if the pitching gets, you know, kind of levels out just a little bit more. And I mean, the guys that I just mentioned, Gil, they've all had success. Bogaerts, JD Martinez, Alex Verdugo was a highly rated prospect that got traded over in a trade from the Dodgers. Rafael Devers has had success in the major leagues. I mean, a lot of these guys have played well, you know, and maybe we didn't think that the combination of all those guys was going to equal a winning team. I don't know.
That point you made, though, I think is the best one. Much to the chagrin of the Yankees fans who are watching, it doesn't feel like, and for the reasons you stated, you can actually back this up with numbers, doesn't feel like they're going to fall anytime soon. So, yeah, that's a great choice for sure.
And then my most disappointing team, the Minnesota Twins so far. The books had this team listed at 88.5 wins on the season. Pecota had them even better. They had them at 91-71. They had them winning the AL Central. You take a look as to how they sit right now. And man, this is one of the, and listen, there is, we do believe that there is a chance for this team to pick it up. That being said, they do sit at 12 and 20 right now. That is a 375 win percentage, if you were wondering. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that this bullpen has been absolutely terrible. If you look, the Twins bullpen, dead last in WAR, wins above replacement. They've blown all kinds of saves, haven't been able to hold any sort of leads whatsoever. If you really look at their starting pitching, it's not been terrible. Now, it hasn't been the greatest in the world, but it certainly has not been terrible. But, man, eventually you have to hand it over to your bullpen. And eventually these guys are going to have to be able to go in there and hold leads or, you know, keep a game close enough where a team can come back if your starting pitcher kept it pretty close for you along the way. And that has just not been the case with this Twins team so far. I mean, if you look, Berríos only has a 3.49 ERA. Pineda has a 2.43 ERA. J.A. Happ, who's actually thrown 28 innings for them, has a 1.91 ERA. I mean, like these guys have actually pitched pretty well for this team so far, but this bullpen has just been absolutely catastrophic for them. And so can that turn around? It can, for sure. But big-time disappointment for a team that I have, you know, thought was going to be very, very good.
I did too.
I thought was going to be very good. I thought was going to win this division as well. Still lots of time to go, but going to have to figure out some arms there whenever they turn it over from the starting pitching, or they might not, Gil. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter how good the starter goes. He cannot throw complete games every time. If he goes six good innings for you, if he goes seven good innings for you, and they blow the save, then it's all for naught.
I'm with you. I thought they were going to be, and it's still early, by the way. Yeah. They could still have a wildly successful season, but 12 and 20, they have hemorrhaged the most money for bettors in baseball this year. If you had blindly bet the Twins in all of their games this year, you'd be down 11 and a half units net because they're favorites. They have been favorites in a lot of those. What was it said on the Red Sox? They only have seven quality starts. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Kelly, did you do two of these or no?
I did not.
Oh, you did not.
I'll say Montreal Expos for both. How about that?
They have both simultaneously been surprising and disappointing.
Yes, they
You're
have,
absolutely
man.
Right. No, I don't know how you felt about this exercise. I'm glad you asked us to do this, Kelly. But there were a lot of teams you could have chosen on both ends of this.
There were.
Like, it wasn't that easy because I was like, well, how am I going to play this? I'll just do the betting angle way. But all of these picks are rock solid.
And that's where I thought, I was like, I think this could be good because we should get a multitude of answers. But I was a little scared. I'm like, what if they both have the Dodgers and like something? You know, then it doesn't work.
And again, the Dodgers thing is admittedly unfair. Like, if you have that many injuries, because one of the things we said about the Dodgers was they're injury proof. Not if you have 20 dudes, you know, at different points on the IL. Even them, 18 and 17. But imagine they've absorbed all that. They still have a winning record. They'll be fine. They'll still win the – I don't want to say it out loud here. I was going to say, they're still the favorite to win it all.
At least the Rockies and the Tigers are doing exactly what we said they were going to.
That's exactly right.
I was surprised just looking at the standings graphic. I didn't know the Twins were that bad. I knew they hadn't been playing well, but man.
No, they've been brutal. And, again, it's the absolute worst – absolute worst bullpen in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, by the way, Seattle, I mentioned, second most money net for bettors. Again, the bizarro exercise of betting them every single game of the year, which no one really does, but just gives you an idea from a bettor's perspective how the Mariners have beaten the market, if you will, or exceeded their number. Your Red Sox, third, the number one team for bettors this year. Any guesses? Your San Francisco Giants.
You said that you thought they might be surprising this season.
The reason
mainly because they don't have any starting pitching that draws money. Like, they're dogs in basically every single game.
But guilted, you kind of talked about them.
Thank you, Daniele. That is exactly why I didn't call the Giants the most surprising, because I thought they'd be good before
the season
started.
Surprising to the rest of us.
Yeah, well, they're 8-1 to make the playoffs. Again, all of this is hugely early, right?
Yeah.
We could have this conversation in 2 months, and none of this will apply. And we will. By the way, with New York teams... Yankees, I mentioned that the Dodgers, only Colorado, Detroit, and Minnesota worse for bettors. Well, the Yankees are just above the Dodgers in terms of hemorrhaging money for bettors. Not nearly as much. Dodgers have hemorrhaged over 7 units for bettors net this year. Yankees, 4.5 units down. Not a hemorrhage, but a bleed out for sure. And then about the New York Mets, about exactly where you would figure they would be. which is the team among all 30 Major League Baseball teams that would be the closest to literally making you and losing no money, like close to zero as possible? The New York Metropolitans, if you had bet them every single game this year, all 29 of their games, you would be down 0.13 units. So you literally would have lost 13 cents on the dollar. And that would have been a waste of time, really, more than anything, just a waste of time.
We went final in Cleveland, and sure enough, 3-2 final, under the 6.5. Bieber goes 6 2/3, 8 Ks, and 2 earned runs.
How do they know?
How do they know?
How do they know?
How do they know?
And the Mets down on to Baltimore 1-0. Means versus Stroman. What did Means do tonight?
Means goes 6. Does give up 6 hits.
Okay.
Didn't walk any, though. Struck out 3, but very efficient, only on 74 pitches.
We're still scoreless in Houston, bottom of the 5th. The Astros and the Angels with the Astros coming up with their 7, 8, 9 hitters to face Shohei Ohtani, who's been pretty efficient thus far, which is just what the doctor ordered for the Angels. 50 pitches through 4. We'll see how it goes from here. We'll come back. We'll update things. We'll also talk about, just overall World Series odds. We should probably do that as well. And we'll talk NBA. It's VSiN's primetime action on a Tuesday night from the South Point, Vegas. VSiN's primetime action. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Daniel Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. Betting sports is what we do. By the way, Kyle Tucker, Oppo on Shohei to lead off the bottom of the 5th. Astros 1, Angels nothing. I got the Angels plus 140. I did not enjoy seeing that leave the yard.
That was a quality piece of hitting.
Yeah. Well, I guess. If you have to
from
put it that
baseball,
way.
From a baseball. Let's just say from a pure baseball standpoint.
I suppose.
Yes.
How's your Mavs doing here? 68-64 Memphis. Let me ask you this about the Grizzlies. Because when I posed that question earlier, what are the matchups in the first round that could be sneaky based on, sneaky bets based on where you think the betting price will be? What are certain teams in each conference? We talked about the Blazers that people aren't thinking about. Do you think the Grizzlies are like, if we use sneaky, are they the ultra sneaky team where it's like they could be live in a play-in on any given night?
I'm going to answer your question in 1 second, but the ultimate spread drama that we make fun of sometimes with the Nuggets and Hornets coming down to the wire here. This game, I believe, was anywhere between 5 and 6 pregame. Nuggets are going to win this one, but they were up 4. Hornets decided to foul with 4 seconds remaining. There was no chance of them coming back in this. Fouled. I don't know who was at the line, but they went 1 of 2. So now Nuggets leading by 5, 3 seconds on the clock, and they just called a timeout.
So it's either on the number or someone's going to lose by 1 because a guy missed one of the free throws.
Or you got really lucky with the Hornets when they fouled when they should have never fouled because the game was over. Grizzlies, Gil, I would say a month ago I would have said watch out for this team. 3 weeks ago, they just haven't been playing as good at basketball recently.
I just picture it when you turn on SportsCenter or whatever you watch a week from now, it's going to be Ja Morant
leading
the broadcast. With
don't
something
get wrong.
Ridiculous.
Jaw's been amazing. Dylan Brooks, I feel like, has had a amazing season, and I'm saying that without even really looking at numbers because it's one of those, just every time you watch this team, he just jumps out to you.
17 points a game.
Yeah. Between him and then what Valanciunas is doing there. I mean, we don't really have, many pure centers in this game anymore.
He's about it.
Right, but the 4 or 5 that we have that are really good, and he's one of those guys.
They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6. They have 7 guys averaging double-digit points this year.
I mean, they're one of those teams that, they're deep as far as guys that, can score, but how many of those guys are going to put up 30 each night? I don't know, but they're good for in the teens for sure.
They're the team that if you play bad, they'll beat you.
Yes.
You know, because they're just steady Eddie. Like, they're just like steady Eddie across the board, right? Like, if you play bad, they'll beat you.
Morant, the guys that have double-digit scoring averages on the Grizzlies, Morant, Brooks, Valanciunas, Jackson, those are the ones that are not surprising. Then you have a, you know, Kyle Anderson, I guess, sneaks in there as well. Most casual basketball fans would know him. They'd also know Grayson Allen, right, from his Duke days. How many people have Brandon Clark averaging double digits for the Grizzlies? So seven different guys. They're up 72-64. Both of you guys have the Mavericks tonight.
And as you mentioned in your last update, Luka still has 8 points.
Cool.
Yes.
72-64.
So when you said, hey, you've got 8 points, maybe score, cool. he still has 8 points. So
cool hand, yeah. Luka. Oh, not getting it done for us tonight.
Good thing.
Brooklyn Nets. Who do you guys have leading the Nets in scoring tonight? They're up on the Bulls 74-62, 8:30 left in the third quarter. Any guesses?
Bruce Brown.
Did you already say that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
But he's had a couple of these games recently.
Bruce Brown with 15, KD with 14, Kyrie and Joe Harris with 13 each. Nets well on their way there, 12-point lead. And the Nets, by the way, you know, we haven't talked about the Nets tonight. They deserve a mention. Harden, James Harden, as reported by Malika Andrews this morning, it looks like James Harden will be back this week. Remember, at one point, we were like, oh, he'll be back by the first round. Oh, maybe it'll be the second round. Well, now it looks like he'll be back this week, which can only, correct me if I'm wrong, be a good thing for that team, who has famously played only 7 games with the Big Three this year. You would hope that, you know, because if it was the second round, you just, I mean, even those guys, as good as they are, can you just show up and be awesome the first? Maybe they're just that good you could. But it certainly doesn't hurt that he'll show up this week.
Yeah, they could use the reps. I'm not worried about him, though. I'm not worried about him.
I think a few, but I do. I think a few reps can, can go a long way.
A few reps might be nice. Yeah. All right, by the way, Astros up 1-0, top 6. Come on, Angels. Anytime you're ready against Lance McCullers. We're tracking that one. Randy Arozarena takes his at-bats here in the 6th. Yankees up on the Rays, 3-1. Some good baseball. Some really important basketball results tonight. We'll track them all through the night. Knicks and Lakers, of course, at the top of the hour as well. It's VSiN's primetime action.
If you missed any of our show today or any of the VSiN broadcasts, be sure to check out our VSiN podcast. You can catch up on Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly, A Numbers Game, or The Lombardi Line on the daily VSiN Best Bets podcast. Also, check in with Gil Alexander's Beating the Book Pod, Josh Applebaum's Market Insights, get PGA Tour betting previews on Long Shots, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod is on there, and the NBA Scoop with JVT on Hardwood Handicappers. Whatever you're betting on, we have a pod for it. Find them all for free at vsin.com/podcast. That's vsin.com/podcast. Gil.
All right. They just flashed up a stat for the Angels, by the way. What do you suppose the Angels' lifetime record is when Trout and Ohtani are both hitting, both in the batting order, that is, and are both hitless? 26 career games where they have both been hitless while being in the lineup. The Angels' record in those 26 games?
Trick question.
18-8. 8 wins.
When they don't have a hit?
Yeah.
My guess is 8
I was going
wins.
With trick questions.
Oh, Sam. You thought I was a tricky thing.
8 wins.
4-22.
Oh, I was high.
Boom, boom, ba-doom, barrel. 4-22.
Is that like a Seinfeld sound there?
That was gosh, Price. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That was our...
Daniel's got to take the rest of the segment off.
That's it, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel, all right.
Daniel's
this conversation just
Daniel's
between me
gonna
and
show herself out.
Okay, all the 80s sounds sound the same, to be honest.
That was our
still
video.
Going right now.
It's our video, that music. Our loser video music.
It's the prices, right?
It's basically
You're
the same thing
the
as we got on
right,
our loser
though.
Video.
Yes!
Oh, my gosh.
Queen.
You're a loser.
This
see that, I recognize.
It's not as mean afterward, and it has Bob Barker explaining why you why you lost for whatever reason.
Daniel's you mean the primetime action loser video sack?
Yeah, I just didn't understand when you sang it, Gil, is what she's saying. Yeah.
No, wow.
That traces back to the 1900s and the great game show.
Only lived 8 years in the 1900s myself.
The Price is Right. Yes. Yeah.
It still goes to this day. They have primetime editions of it. Like they have primetime Price is Right.
Yeah, I caught a glimpse of Drew Carey the other day hosting it. He ain't looking so great. And then someone tweeted at me the other day that I should take over the show for him. So I don't really know what to make of that, but yeah.
You have a little Drew Carey in you.
A little Drew Carey, yes.
You got a little Drew Carey in you.
That's an insult. Don't know.
Hey, can we shout out Drew Carey? Drew Carey was like on the top of the television world, right? He was like a big television star and willfully decided, he goes, you know what? The rest of my life, I'm just going to be the host of The Price is Right.
It's crazy when some of these jobs open up like that and like the late night talk show host jobs, you know, where it's like, I don't need to do anything ever again. I'm good.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
That's what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
I mean, hey. He's done. The Jeopardy gig's a good one where they film every episode for the week on a Saturday. I mean, hey, one day of work, I'm out.
He's done. All right, so we have a couple of baseball games that are still to come. We have the Marlins and the Diamondbacks, Pablo Lopez versus Madison Bumgarner. Bumgarner and the Diamondbacks, -115. Favorites, you got about -103, -105 on Pablo Lopez and the Marlins. If you're not familiar with Pablo Lopez, so far, really, really good this season. Got about a little over a 3.7 xFIP right now, sitting with really and truly, I mean, it's a pretty small 7.5% walk rate for today's pitchers as it is anyway. Nice little swing and strike rate as well, about 11%. And got a nice little K rate of 25%. So the guy's got some really, really good stuff. And, you know, Madison Bumgarner, as when we were talking to Paul Sport a little bit earlier, really has ticked back up. I mean, listen, by today's standards, certainly not fast. But for Madison Bumgarner, he's like throwing about 91, 92, which for him, again, fast. He was throwing in the high 80s, you know, last couple of years, which is why he was getting lit up left and right. But has found a little bit on his fastball as well. So having some pretty good success with for both of these guys, though. Pablo Lopez, I really do. I think this is one of the more fun guys to watch in the majors right now. I think he's got a real bright future. And so if I were backing this, I mean, especially given the price, since it's about a coin flip, I kind of do like Lopez and the Marlins tonight a little bit.
Should be fun. Mad Bum, as you allude to. I mean, so bad to begin the year and then so good with the 7-inning no-no, by the way. Which he, you know, would be the first person to tell you, that's not a real no-hitter. But
it is.
But it is. That's right.
He couldn't go back out for the eighth.
No.
He didn't have the option. He would have.
He volunteered, but they wouldn't let him.
I mean, they wouldn't let
him. You're going to be here by yourself, Mad Bum. Nobody else is going to be on the field.
He's like, I'm just going to throw to a glove, and like we're gonna make this official.
We got a Bobon sighting in Memphis.
Oh, and, we always like that.
He just took a court, just scored. On the other end, Jaw had no fear. He went right at him and just did a little floater over the top of him. It was interesting.
Can we talk about the Celtics? Because I know we mentioned them briefly. The Celtics are losing to the Heat by 15.
Yay.
When we were here on, you're on the Heat, that's
yes.
right.
Yeah.
On Friday, we were here. They were playing the Bulls. Celtics have everything to play for. Bulls, I guess, have mathematically a shot, you know, outside looking into the play-in. But the Celtics just did not show up, right? Just got absolutely rolled in that game. So I get it. No more Jaylen Brown. And here they're getting beat on their home court by the Heat by 18. The Celtics are going to be in a play-in for all intents and purposes. That's what it looks like right now. Are they, of all the teams in the playoffs, of all the teams, I'm talking about all 20, including the play-in teams, might they be the easiest mark of anybody right now?
Man.
I would power rank them 20th right now. I really would. Unless the Spurs get in. Then I'll make them 19th.
I don't think I'd go that far. I don't think I'd go that far.
Dude, they're not showing up for any of these games. They're down 21.
I mean that's what's tough. I don't know. Matt, where would you put them at?
They would be very close to the bottom.
Yeah. They're not. I mean, they're not even competitive, Kelly.
I mean, I'm putting them ahead. I think I'm putting them ahead of the Pacers still.
Oh, maybe so.
And I mean, Hold on. I mean, we got to see what's going on with Beal, but, you know, might be coin toss with the Wizards to me.
Stop it.
Out west. Okay, I'm not putting him in front of anybody out west. So, okay, it's only Pacers and maybe Wizards.
All right. So that the point remains the same, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I might go 20th, quite frankly, but that they showed no pulse, man. And here's the thing. I know you're not supposed to say a bad word about Brad Stevens. We all love Brad Stevens as a coach. But some of this has to come on him, right?
I mean, they've done a horrible job with what they've done in these offseason moves. They haven't developed. They had all these draft picks over the past few years.
JVT would tell us it's roster construction more than coaching.
And I believe that's a lot of it, too. I mean, the Kyrie thing was weird. Whatever, right? I mean, Kyrie's kind of a weird dude. He didn't fit in there. He didn't like playing there. But I think it did kind of show that there were issues on his team. We saw Gordon Hayward. He wanted out. I mean, he chose the Charlotte Hornets over the Boston Celtics, who had been, you know, in the playoffs year after year.
And look, I mean, yeah, he's been gone a couple of games now, but I mean, still, they're only two games over 500. You got a career year out of Jaylen Brown too.
Mm-hmm.
You got a career year out of Jaylen Brown, and you're sitting two games over 500. Yeah. I mean, the guy increased his scoring by 10 points,
24.7 a game this year from Jaylen. We'll wrap it up. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.
Download the DraftKings Casino app now and use promo code VSiN to get a deposit bonus up to $1,500. DraftKings Casino has hundreds of ways to play. Choose from slots, blackjack, roulette, and so much more. It's also U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available to play in New Jersey, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia only. Must be 21 or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. For entertainment purposes only. No results guaranteed. Void where prohibited. See casino.draftkings.com for full details. Gil.
Lance McCullers, I was about to say, was one hitting the Angels through six, with that hit not being from the bat of Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout, instead from Taylor Ward, but Ohtani with a leadoff single to start out the seventh there against Lance McCullers. So the Angels trying to make some noise in this ballgame, and this is where the Angels can get you at the top of their order. So one on, nobody out here at the top of the seventh, and a 1-0 pitcher's duel between McCullers and Ohtani himself as Mike Trout takes his hacks.
11 minutes left in the fourth quarter between the Sixers and the Pacers. Of course, no Joel Embiid tonight. Sixers holding a 5-point lead, 80-75. Domantas Sabonis, after that big game last night, triple-double already with 11 minutes left in this game. 14 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. For him, Kelly, you and I were talking.
He's good.
You and I were talking off air. It's the guy that no one ever, like, we joke about the Spurs and like the team that no one talks about. No one talks about Domantas Sabonis. And then we looked at his stats, and he's averaging 20-12-7 on the season.
I got a 250-1 ticket from the preseason of him to win MVP. If anybody wants to prop swap, I'll get that to you. I'll get that out to you.
There was a place where you could do that.
All right. I'll get that out to you real quick.
I don't think you could get even a quarter for it.
I don't think so either.
I don't think you'd even get a quarter
for
it.
What'd you say off air, the old Kilborn line? He's not your Vetus. He's not our Vetus. No, what is it? He's not your Vetus, not our Vetus.
He's not your Vetus. He's not my Vetus.
He's our Vetus.
Wow, they did this a lot better during the break.
I completely botched it.
This is why we don't rehearse, Kelly. Yeah. This is why we don't rehearse.
No. Tribute to Craig Kilborn in the old SportsCenter days. His dad, Arvydas Sabonis, back in the day with the Portland Trailblazers. McCullers can't find the plate against Trout, or he doesn't want any part of Trout 3-0.
At this point, he probably doesn't want any more.
Don't pitch it to him. Don't do that. Let somebody else beat you.
We talked about Freddy Peralta and how good he has been so far this season. He is now through seven. He is one hitting the Cardinals, and the Brewers are holding on to a 1-0 lead over the Cardinals. 8 Ks for him through seven innings, and he might be done. 97 pitch count for him, but Peralta continues to roll on here. Brewers 19-16, still and doing this without Christian Yelich as well.
You threw it right down the pipe. Trout took a hack, swing and a miss, 3-1. What you were just saying, though, right? I was just saying McCullers, one hit through six. Now, obviously, one hit isn't zero hits, but Peralta, one hit through how many now?
Seven now.
Through seven. All right, we were saying earlier, there have been four no-hitters in baseball already this year. I'm going to do it off the top of my head. Musgrove, Rodon, Miley was the fourth. Who was the third? Means. Means Miley, and then Mad Bum had the seven inning one. So let's call it 4.5. It's not even mid-May. And so this is like someone, I wouldn't call these two flirting, but they're obviously having outstanding games too. If somebody put up a prop right now and they said to you, all right, I don't even know what you'd put the number at.
Over like, under no hitters this season?
Yeah, over under no hitters. Here's the problem with putting up a prop like that, though. Baseball can arbitrarily change the balls at any point, right? So like the All-Star break, they could be like, all right, bring in the new balls.
So if I said over under 14.5 for the season.
Oh, under, way under. I was going to say 9.5, make it interesting. I mean, this is unprecedented already, right? Like this is not baseball as we know it. Four no-hitters from the beginning of April to not even mid-May?
What's the most ever in a season?
Anybody know? I don't know. Somebody's got to check that. Yeah. By the way, would it even be four? I bet you four is the record for a season. That'd be my guess. I could be way off on
it's
that.
It's insane. I mean, and then what if you're holding an over ticket and then like there's one of the seven inning no hitters and you're like,
yeah, no, that doesn't count. Yeah.
Record
right, really?
Record is seven.
In one season.
Done three times. 1990, 1991, and 2012.
I have no recollection of either of those.
There will be seven this year for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
I mean, you hate to do the whole on pace thing. By the way, runners at first and second, and of course, a double play. Pitcher's best friend, McCullers, very thankful as Ohtani advances to third, but just what the doctor ordered for the Astros.
I'm laughing back here because I saw the same thing that Isaiah saw downstairs. But the whole modern era of baseball and whatever came before that, I love the stats. Because I'm sorry, if you want to be factual, there was one season where we had eight, but it was 1884. So, I didn't include that. Sorry. No. There has been seven
three times. They were
playing
with rocks and, like, whatever. And, like, there were no umpires. You just called your own balls and strikes right, exactly. And stuff. Like, no, we're not doing that.
I don't remember the ones in the 90s and the 2000s, but that year I remember it. Yeah.
1884. Yeah.
No, we're not doing that.
No, but, I mean, if you do the ridiculous on pace
and stuff, like, no, that's not how we're playing this.
The ridiculous on pace thing. I mean, that would put us at, like, 20 no-hitters at this rate.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it's ridiculous. All right. Do
so over under 10.5.
For whatever reason, the number that came into my mind was 9.5, over under.
Okay.
Would you bet over on that? Like, how ridiculous
is
that?
I mean, I'm not running to bet it because, you know, I'm not Mr. Baseball, but, like, I would be – I don't think if you were a shop out there, you couldn't set it anything less than that.
No, not – I mean, not the way.
Not the way it's going, right?
And this is no.
And you know how people bet; they want to bet the over.
Yeah, got through. Of course, it didn't. Altuve from the grass makes the play, and the Astros get out of it. But that's and look, this is no knock on Joe Musgrove, on John Means, on Carlos Rodon, on Wade Miley. But that ain't exactly the Mount Rushmore of pitching either. You know, like Wade Miley has had an entire career, and no one's like, well. Hope Wade Miley doesn't throw a no-no tonight. Yeah. You know? So, and Carlos Rodon is like, boy, I hope he doesn't throw a no-no. But it's happened. Joe Musgrove threw the first one in Padres history. So congratulations, because he's always etched in that franchise history. But it's what Spoerer said. It's not so much that it's only the three outcome game of homers, strikeouts, and walks. It's the fact that the homers are down. Mm-hmm. The perfect alchemy of stinkitude for baseball. Not what they wanted.
One of the things we alluded to when we were previewing the game, and this is just something... You know, moving forward until further notice, the Padres are almost unbettable when Dennelson Lamet starts. I mean, he only gives up one hit, but they pull him after two again. You know, so we just have no idea what's going on with him and what their status is for him. So I mean, they've gone to the pin here. I mean, they're down 1-0 in this game. You were getting a good plus price on the Rockies in this thing. Now it could change, and they could certainly get to Senzatella at some point in this game. But again, it's just it's essentially a bullpen game. Like, it's not even a Lamet start essentially at this point. I mean, he's like an opener, like we used to get with the Rays, last year.
It's why I brought it up with Spoerer. I get it. The Rockies are terrible. They're 12-22, but what's the justification for +152 when you know the Padres starter is not going to go far? And of course, more importantly, in the news today, not more importantly, but just as important, No Fernando Tatis Jr. tested positive for COVID. His timetable is unknown when he will return. And then there were some tracing issues, too. Mm. So, like, guys like Jerickson Profar are not in the lineup either. So plus 152?
So when you see Lamet, just look at it more as, like, until further notice, until we see something differently, that, like, he's just an opener at this point. Like the Rays do sometimes, stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't mess with that.
By the way, that wouldn't be the worst thing for the Padres to do. Dinelson Lamet last year. What's going on, Kelly? What's happening back there?
Okay? Just Mavericks down 20. You know, no big deal. Mavericks down 20. Complete disaster.
No, that's a big deal.
I thought you were having an episode back there.
Yeah, I'm just... You know, I'm silently in my mind cursing out this team every way possible. Like, it's very rare to, you know, we're on MSG Plus tonight. Mm-hmm. How many times this season have Matt and I rolled in with the same play in the
NBA?
I
think you and I have picked off Luka's worst three games of the year, too. Like, I might have only bet the Mavericks three times the whole course of the season. I think you and I have picked off his three worst games of the whole year.
Is he even taking shots?
He's 4 of 16.
He is taking shots. Okay.
He's got four. He has more turnovers than he does field goals made.
Well, at least he's trying, I guess, is what I was getting at. Mm-hmm.
4 of 16.
Look how big the font is for Matt's.
He's not getting at the line.
Just go ahead and put the X on that thing.
Well, see, his font's actually normal size, Danielle. It's your font that's small when we have 18 plays to jam in the graphic.
Kelly, I found a market here. We need to do a segment. They put up the comeback player of the year over on DraftKings.
Oh, for NFL?
For NFL.
Yeah. We want to talk about tomorrow? You want to talk about it?
We got to get a segment on that. There's a couple of interesting numbers.
Yeah. I saw that earlier today.
Shouldn't it be called the Alex Smith Comeback Player of the Year Award?
We might as well tease it up right now. What are you seeing on there?
Well, I mean, you can get Burrow at 7-1.
Okay.
Of course,
they're going to give it to a quarterback. Oh, they're going to give it to a quarterback.
Hold on
1 second.
They're going to give it to a quarterback.
This is what's so interesting about this again. Comeback Player of the Year. What does that mean to different people? Right? Because there's going to be some people who are like, he was a rookie who got hurt. How's he coming back? From an injury? We're going to give it to a guy in his second year?
I don't know what the number is now, but I know who's at the top of that list, and he's under 2-1, right, Dak?
It's a whole bunch of dudes coming back off it. It's Dak, it's Bosa, it's Saquon, it's Christian McCaffrey, it's Burrow. Ooh,
so really it's best return from
injury. So it's all, it's all dudes coming back off injury. The first guy that's not coming back off injury is Carson Wentz.
I'm going to say Saquon is the leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
We'll dive into this more tomorrow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be one where I got to build a list for us, Gil. Yeah, you know, you got to look at past winners, you know.
I understand.
Dissect each past winner.
Hey, I can tell you who's not going to be the 33-1 Tim Tebow that's on the list.
Oh, God.
Do you know the
33-1?
33-1.
33-1 for comeback player of the year. Coming back from what? I have no idea.
That should be like 3,333.
Coming back from commentating.
What's he coming back from?
Coming back from commentating.
Coming back from not being around.
Coming back from quarterbacking 6 years ago? Yeah. Like, what?
I mean, yeah.
Well, things to ponder through the evening. Skill Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvarez,
just say
Kelly
Bryce
Bidlin.
Jameis.
We may just keep talking about this after we leave. Enjoy. From all of us right here at Primetime Action.